The information provided in this show is intended for your general knowledge only and is not intended to be, nor is it, medical advice or a substitute for medical advice. If you have or suspect you have a specific medical condition or disease, please consult your healthcare provider.
Now listening to the Health Hero Show with Tim James.
What's up, Health Heroes? Tim James here, founder of ChemicalFreeBody.com and your host for the show that simplifies and demystifies how to live an energetic life with a flat belly. So if you're into a healthy gut and staying young, then this is the show for you.
What's up, Health Heroes? Tim James here with another exciting episode of the Health Hero Show. Today in the house, I've got Miss Amber, and she is a early childhood expert. She has almost 30 years of helping little kids learn in a preschool format. You're going to find out a lot about her today. Quite amazing, actually, that she just started her own preschool in her early 20s. And, you know, with a passion to really bring love, having a love-centered school where the kids really experience love in the school. Because, you know, the reality is unfortunately, some of the homes today, they're not getting the love. So what I think is cool about this is that for the places where they are getting love at home, they can continue getting that love at home and not go to some crazy place, right, where they're just, your kids are dropped off and they're treated like a number, like the Gestapo. And if the kids weren't getting as much love, or maybe they had some traumatic stuff at home, maybe a parent that was abusive, whether it be, you know, physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually abusive, it could be a nice little place for them to get a break during the day away from their parents, who had been also conditioned by society and their parents, most likely. So I think that is really cool. Now, the core of this talk today, though, with Miss Amber, though, it's not just about the kids, even though it is. It's also about women, and it's about empowering women to start their own business, because her highest excitement, her joy was to help these kids and create this loving environment. She kind of had to do it her way, and because it wasn't being done. So she created a preschool around all this. And, you know, by default, that was her own business. And now she'll tell you all about it, but she actually is not even in the business anymore, but she runs the business, and actually the business runs without her. And that's kind of the goal for any business, especially for any entrepreneur out there, is like, you want to build a business so that you could literally sell it, even though you might not ever want to, that you could sell it and the person that bought it from you could also continue on with the business and be profitable and go on. So how do you do that? How do you create a business that will keep running with or without you so that you can have a life? Because a lot of people, when they get into entrepreneurialville, they find out that it's a lot more hours than 8 hours, especially in the beginning. But if you have a plan and you have a system and you have a path to follow, boy, it's sure a lot easier. So we'll get into all that today, and also into her backstory, where she had a little cancer deal going on, which, you know, could be a big thing, could be a little thing, depends on how you look at it and how she was able to deal with that and overcome that. So Amber, I want to thank you and welcome you to the show today.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
Awesome.
Excited to be here.
I think I just need to click there. I had to switch over and make sure my speakers are working better. So, okay, now I can hear you, which is good. So that's awesome. All right. So you live, I know you said you live in Northern California. So I was like, oh my God, you have to go see Dr. Alan Goldhammer in the True North Clinic. So yeah. Pre-show, we're talking about water fasting. If you haven't checked him out, I just interviewed Dr. Goldhammer. He's probably one of the preeminent people in the world on medically supervised water fasting, episodes 198 and 199. It was so good, we needed two episodes to cover it all, and I think we covered 95% of it. So check those out if you're interested in water fasting, or if you haven't, go back, and you will be interested once you get done listening to those two episodes. Okay. All right. So you live in Northern California, and why don't you take us back to, you know, how'd you get started in the preschool deal?
Yeah, I live in Northern California. I'm a Cali girl through and through. I've never lived anywhere else. Love my California weather. I always thought I wanted to be a mom. Well, I knew I wanted to be a mom my whole life. When I was a kid, I was that neighborhood babysitter at 10. I babysat all the kids. I got married at 19, really young. I was raised really religious. So I got married young. That was the path you thought, you know, you need to do to have kids. But before I got married, I actually taught at preschools. I taught at three different centers, and I loved teaching. I just loved it. I love kids. I loved teaching little ones. And so I became a mom at 22. And I thought I was going to be a stay-at-home mom. I thought, this is my future. This is what I've always dreamed. And I was 4 months into it. And I was like, I cannot keep just cleaning the kitchen 10 times, folding laundry. And it just, for me personally, was not fulfilling. Like, it wasn't bringing joy to my heart. Now, I loved my son. I loved.
Are you OCD at all?
I mean, a little. I wouldn't say like,
I was just saying, cause you know, you got bored. You're like, I cleaned everything 10 times. It's like, so you probably were just, you were on top of it. You were on top of being a mom. Then you're like, I need more.
I need more. And everybody, I think, especially women, that's like such a personal choice. You know, some women go into mothering thinking I'm going to work full time, and then they have that baby and they're like, I have to stay home now. And some, it's just vice versa. So whatever works for you, for me, I've always been a goal-oriented person. I've always just had these dreams. I don't know why. I didn't even know what entrepreneur was at 22. I didn't even really know what that word was. But I just knew I needed more. So I decided to work at like a really high-end gym in their childcare so I could bring my son. And that's where I came up with this idea of, why don't I just open up my own preschool? And it was this little seed of an idea. And I just would crunch numbers at night at the dining room table. And I was like, I could do this. And so I did. 6 months later, literally, I opened 4 weeks after 9/11. Imagine that. Like, if you experienced 9/11, the whole world, and I was pregnant with my second. My oldest was 7 months. I was pregnant with my second son. And I started my business in my home. I started a preschool, not a daycare. And I became
big difference there. I mean, daycare is just kind of keeping an eye on me. You're teaching.
Yeah, I marketed myself. So funny. I was 23 at the time. Like I said, I didn't even know what entrepreneur was. My dad was he worked at a chemical plant like his whole life. So he was like the Monday through Friday worked for someone. My mom stayed at home. So college, I had no college degree. I just knew I love kids and I wanted to provide financially. And I'm so thankful that even at that young of an age, I recognize that as women being married and a family, I think it's really important to be able to have our own money and to provide financially for our family. I just wanted to be a really involved mom too. So that's where the idea happened. And I opened in my living room on October 1st, 2001. I had two kids who were paying and two kids who were free, because you can't just open up a preschool with like two kids. And 6 months, I had 48 students and I had this giant waiting list. And it just took off because I presented myself. I just believed in myself. I was going to be a teacher. I was going to be a preschool, not a daycare. I created a website and marketing and like just taught myself how to do it. And yeah, 6 months, I had two employees and that's how it started.
So obviously this is in California because you're a California girl and you never went anywhere else. Well, you might've went somewhere else, but you live there. So do you need to get a degree to be a preschool teacher?
No, you don't. You need early childhood education. So you need like a certain amount of units. If you're running a preschool from your home, which is super easy to do, you really don't need a lot of requirements. You do have to get licensed through your state, wherever you live. There is like licensing regulations. There's home visits. Like you have to fill out applications and there's things that you have to do. You have to get fingerprinted, all of that, like safety things, but you don't really need education, although I recommend it. Like I taught at schools before, so I took what I liked, what I didn't like, how they, you know, they ran and all those things. And one thing too, why I wanted to open up my own is I had my son, I wanted to create a school that I would want him to go to. And even though I didn't see it at the time, I wanted to provide a really good job. So I think that's the best thing of this field that I've loved is I love providing an amazing job for other women. Yeah. And a place where they wake up really happy to go to. So I ran from my home for 9 years until I opened up my own center. So, yeah.
Outside of the home.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah. The first thing I'm thinking of is your father. If he worked at a chemical plant all those years, we should probably send him a free bottle of toxin detox and get him on that.
Yeah, he probably needs
it. We got to get those chemicals out of him. That's not good.
No.
With the daycare and stuff, so you taught at preschools already, then you said, I'm going to take what I like and put that in, and then I'm going to take what I don't like, and I'm going to fix it, make it better. I want a place where I'd want my own children to be raised, right? So you actually put your heart into it and put some love and some thought around this place, and then I could see why you had, a 48 people within a certain amount of time and a big waiting list, because you created something very special.
Yeah.
It wasn't just like cookie cutter. Okay.
It was really special and it was different. Even though it was in my home, I called myself a preschool. I marketed myself that way. We did activities, we did cooking, we did science, we did music. Like there was projects they took home. Like I was teaching these little ones, and I don't know. That's why it took off, because people, it's so expensive. Childcare is so expensive, right? And so as an early childcare provider, it is our responsibility to provide really high quality care. And we need to be teaching our kids. And I truly believe like love is at the center of all of it. I think that this is a home away from home. And families are trusting us with their most precious, jewels and gems. Like these are little human beings. So it is our responsibility to provide them Monday through Friday all day with so much love and care and grace. And I think those just allowed me to flourish, because I was putting my heart into it, but I was also being a mom. Like it was awesome. In 6 months, I brought in two teachers. So I was on bed rest, went into labor early, and that's where it even started. Like I started learning how to delegate even that young of age and trusting others to like represent me. So even 6 months after I started working just a little bit part-time. I might teach Monday, Wednesday, Friday and have someone else teach Tuesday, Thursday, things like that. So I think that was the beginning of even delegating. Cause like you talked about earlier, entrepreneurs, you can work 24/7. It's so easy to get so wrapped up into your business and in the weeds all the time. And then you're exhausted.
Yeah. And neglect your health,
and you,
which is the most important thing. And the thing that's going to ensure that you are successful or not successful is if you don't take care of your health. I was just having a conversation with this the other day. We have a really exciting project right now. And my webmaster, he hasn't been to yoga in a week and a half. And he was so excited to get back into yoga and the gym and all this stuff. He's like, bro, I'm just so excited about this offer we're putting together. And I'm like, look at this, look at that. And I'm like, dude, what is your job here? What's your job here at Chemical Free Body? He's like, I'm supposed to do that. No, your job is to be healthy. Mm-hmm. Like, so for my employees and my private contractors that work with me, I just tell them, like, we're family, and as far as I'm concerned, my job is to lead you, and the first thing is to lead you to being healthy. Like, so if I got stuff now going on with my mom and dad, I just, I get up at 5 a.m. I just get all my personal stuff. I take care of my body. I nourish myself. I take my green juices. I work out. I do my yoga. I get it all done before they're awake, and so that I don't miss it.
Right.
It's not perfect. Go ahead.
I think that is what I really messed up early on in my business and being an entrepreneur, raising my little ones, like my own kids. I was such a perfectionist in everything having to be perfect. And I took on that stress. I think stress is such a huge part of illness as well.
Oh yeah.
Any negative, I didn't know how to put boundaries up. So any negative comment or email, I would literally have panic attacks. And I was also in a marriage at that time where it was really, really unhealthy. And so I wore this mask. I like literally went around for years with this mask, like everything's perfect, and stuffed and stressed and was in flight mode all the time. And I think that's personally, I think that's why I got breast cancer at 31 with no family history.
Sure.
And I think one of the biggest things I like to tell people now is, you're right, your health is so important. I don't start my day now until like 11 a.m. because I do all my routines, my health routines, my journaling. Like it's such priority now, my health and being just very content and take things slow. But in the early days, I was stressed all the time. I did not know how to manage my stress. I didn't know how to, it was awful. It was awful. And I think that's why I ended up with cancer. So yeah.
I believe that it was, you know, I've talked to so many people that have clinics and doctors and stuff that I've worked with and, you know, get counsel from and stuff. And they'll tell you like a lot of the breast cancer is, it's emotional trauma. That's what it's from. And, you know, when we're talking about getting healthy here, Amber brought up a really important point. She had a really stressed out relationship, right? That alone could cause your breast cancer.
Oh yeah.
Right. So it's not just about eating, you know, having a green juice, which it's a big deal because we need nutrition, but it's about, you know, stop putting in the bad stuff, the chemicals, the toxins, and some of them are toxic people. And some of them are your stress around your business, your career, your children, however that is, however you're responding to this stuff and not loving yourself enough to make changes and dragging it on and on and on and putting on a little smiley face.
Yeah, I did it for years. I dragged that relationship. Well, also, you know, when you have kids, you're like, I want to stay for the kids and I don't want to break up the family. You know,
right.
I have that guilt as well. Like it took me 10, well, consciously really 10 years to finally leave.
I was wondering, is that why you're Miss Amber now?
I'm happily remarried. I'm just going by my preschool name. So like I've been a teacher for almost 30 years. And so all my kids call me Miss Amber.
I'm happily
happily remarried now and have just like the life that I live now is the life that I only dreamed about for years. Right. Like I have such a very intentionally lived life. Like it's very chosen. Like the people in my life are the chosen people who bring me joy and the things I choose to do bring me joy. Like life is too short to be on the hamster wheel and having a miserable, horrible, stressed out life. It's just too short. So yeah. I'm very intentional with everything I do and everything I choose now, because I never want to have cancer again. I never want to be that stressed out again. You know, I want to be just at peace.
So. Well, you know, a lot of when people get cancer, it, depending on how you look at it, it can be the biggest gift you've ever had in your life. You see, because now you have that little accountability partner there. Hey, I'm over here just in case you didn't remember.
Yeah.
If you get off track again, I'm just waiting.
Absolutely. It was a beautiful gift. I think even when I was younger, I always had that thought that like, it's weird. I don't know why. I've always had that ticking sound of like, life is very fragile. But then when I got cancer, it just magnified. Right. And it is a gift in a way. I lost a lot of my girl parts through my cancer.
Yeah.
But it's given me, it's just given me such a gift of like, life is so precious.
Yeah.
And to take care. And that was finally like after 5 years when my doctor was like, you're good. You're 5 years cancer free. That was the moment too, where it's like, they were like, go live your life. I was like, I can't live the way I'm living for the next 15, 16, 17 years. And that was the moment. That was my shift of things have to change within my business. Things have to change within that marriage I was in, all of it. And then I worked really hard to create new, and it's been beautiful.
Yeah. Well, I know you came on here to talk about the preschool.
Yeah.
And so I do want to talk about that, because you really want to empower women to start their own preschools. That's kind of your big mission. But I have to tell you that it's like all the crap that you went through is like, you can teach this to these women, because it's like, yeah, okay, I can show you how to have your own business, crunch the numbers, get the kids, run the ads, put the thing together, put the curriculum together, and do all that stuff. But if you're stressed the F out, super OCD about it, micromanaging everything, and you're stressed, and then you are in a relationship that doesn't work, Like you can teach these women, these young women, or even whatever age they are, they want to start. I mean, you could be 80 and start one of these things. And I think you should. If you're 80 and you want to start a preschool, I think you should. That'd be awesome. But you're going to have to drink a couple green juice to have the energy to do it. It's just going to happen. Let me know. If you're 80 and you start a preschool, I will send you a 3-pack of Green 85, no charge, to get you kicked off. Because I want to support that so much. But your story, the whole thing with the cancer and the crappy husband, that bad relationship, and you being stressed out about everything. And you did this all while you were having kids, which is phenomenal to me. It's actually blowing me away. So for the women listening, if there's anybody listening that's thinking like, what could I do to generate some income? And maybe you're home with a child or two or three. Why not start a preschool? Or maybe you end up doing a daycare too. That's an option. But if you want to do a preschool, you know, Amber, that's what she does. She teaches people. But I just think that's so important because it's not just about making the money and providing for your family. It's about all of it and having all these areas balanced in your life and fulfilled, right? And you want it to be, that's what you want. You want to have a nice, fulfilled, pleasant life. That's what it really boils down to.
Totally boils down to that. But yeah, no, I am really passionate about helping other women. I mean, men too. There are some guys now that are staying home and they love their kids. Sure. And stay home, but it's just an easy way. If you love kids, well, I'll say, if you love kids, if you do not love kids, this is not the job for you. This is not the career for you. But if you love kids, there's so many, there's always kids in this world, yeah. Right? Always people that need care, like really good care. So
yeah,
it's not going away. I mean, I've survived the recession in 2006 and COVID and all kinds of stuff. And it's not going away. Nope. And we need more providers who are loving and who are caring and who want to hold these babies and cuddle these babies and hug them. And it is very empowering to be able to provide for your family as well. And I attribute that to, I am so thankful that me, that 23-year-old girl, started her own business because my name was on everything solely. And I walked away from my almost 17-year marriage, very traumatic marriage, with my business. And I bought my own house. I stood on my own 2 feet. I can provide for my kids really well. Like, it was my escape. That financial freedom. And I know so many women, you know, I'm getting up there in age, I'm 46 now. So a lot of my friends are, our kids are
old. That's not old.
No, I know, I'm still young, but you know, but like our kids are getting older now. And I know so many women who cannot leave abusive relationships or marriages because they do not have money and they're scared and they don't know how to stand on their own 2 feet. So I'm so thankful for my preschools. I'm so thankful for my schools because it's really given me the freedom to stand on my own 2 feet.
And you know, how many schools do you own now?
I currently own 2. I've opened up 8 along the way. And so I love to just get them going, get them staffed, get them like really running really well, and then passing the torch. So, but I do have 2 schools right now. And and so now I'm just helping other people, like if they're struggling with their school, if they want to start a school, just kind of coaching them along to like really thrive for the long run.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, just fill your house with kids and off you go. You know, my one of my best friends, Neil, his mom, she always babysitted, like daycare. She can never retire. There's always somebody wants her because they heard she does a good job. And like, you know, I'm 50, so you know, you can do the math. That probably puts her up in her 70s, and she still does it a little bit, I think, because like she it's high demand.
Yeah. And she probably loves it. It's just probably in her blood. Like she probably loves it, but it is a career path that is never going away. It is never going away. And it is, it's great. It's very financially like a secure path, especially program. You will have a waiting. I have waiting lists now. I've had waiting lists for years and years and years. So yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, even me with not the greatest tech people supporting me for many, many years. I think we finally got that solved. But I've been saying that for a long time, but we're taking a lot of it in-house now so I can control it. Because after a while, you're just like, I'm just going to take responsibility for everything. Like, I can do this. Like, I don't need somebody else to, oh, please do this, solve my problem for me. Because they never do. They just never do. But during that whole COVID thing, our business, because it was in the health industry, that continued to go up. And my formulator, Dr. Treadway, taught me that. He said, he goes, this is a very stable business to be in, because when things are going good, people are interested in their health. When things are going bad, they're really interested in their health. Yeah. Right? Because all of a sudden they start realizing what's important, right? Everybody's kind of getting a little wake up call, right? And so imagine, this is what I'm so excited about. I would like to work with you, is like I want to be a part of this somehow. Like, if you're going to roll out these preschools and syndicate them or whatever we talked about, like the healthy preschool, you know what I mean? It's like to bring a whole nother level of education there. Because you're already kind of down with this, because we talked earlier. And I mean, talk about the gardens and stuff that you guys got going on at school, which I love.
Oh, yeah. It's a huge. So when I was going through cancer, I changed a lot of my program to like being really green and organic and everything. But we have gardens all over. We have garden boxes everywhere. So like edible food, you know, like the plants. And I'm a huge believer in kids getting messy and learning how to garden. And we compost, things like that. We have chickens. So we have, they get fresh eggs and we put
the kids love getting the eggs.
Love it. They love it. That. So I just think it's just really
it's like Easter every day.
Exactly. And then we put like what we grow, we put in baskets so parents can like take it home, and it's just great. Yeah.
And for those of you parents out there that are having a hard time getting your children out of bed in the morning, I was there. This was pre-healthy Tim. This was when Tim was fat, sick, and nearly dead, Tim. You know, dragging around all the extra weight and all that stuff, eating crappy standard American food and feeding it to my children. Okay. It was hard to get my kids up, but when we got chickens, I would like, hey, let's go get the chicken eggs. And they would just like, it was just like some magical force would just pull them out of their stupor. And they would just come out of bed half asleep, walking down there. Whoa, my God. And they loved it. They absolutely loved it. Children love nature. And so what? And guess what? So do you, because you are nature. And that's why that's really cool that you're doing that.
And outside time, like it's really important. We cut, you know, if like a tree fall, we've had a really big storm in Northern California. So like we have tree stumps, right, for our playground stuff. And it's like, let the kids play, let them get messy, let them get dirty, let them put their hands in the dirt and the soil. And it's like, you know, sometimes we have clients that come in, oh, I have this special outfit for my child. Don't get them messy. Well, like we're at the wrong place for you, because
you better bring an extra one.
Oh, it's so important for kids to get messy and to get their hands in soil, and for all of us as humans, right? Have the sunshine on our face. So,
well, you're actually a doctor at that point, because doctor's Latin root word is teacher. And so you're teaching the kids to go outside and boost their immune system. Many ways, one of them being the soil microbiome, right? Yes. There was a French study done about 6-7 years ago that showed that children that had no pets versus children that had indoor pets versus children that had outdoor pets. So what do the outdoor pets do? They'd run outside and get dirty and track it into the house and kiss the kids, right? And the kids would kiss the dogs and the cats. The children that had pets that went outside had 47% less throat, nose, and ear infections.
Oh, I totally believe it. I totally believe it. I tell my clients all the time, like, it is a good thing. They're building up their immune system by being in the dirt and playing and holding chickens. And, you know, it's really important. And I think during COVID, we were the school, and this could be controversial, but I refused to put masks on my students and teach. I just
Why did you do that?
First of all, they're like 2 and 3 and they're little. Like, imagine having them wear a mask all day long. I just couldn't do it. And I live in California.
Yeah.
I just felt like they needed to breathe air, and I didn't enforce it with my teachers either, because I also believe like little ones are learning. They look at our facial expressions.
Exactly. Right?
They're learning their speech by watching us and our faces. So and you know what happened? My school grew and grew and grew. Like,
oh yeah.
And I just couldn't do it. I could not do it. And I had parents, you know, they would sign a form like they agree with that. But I just didn't feel like that was healthy.
Did you have any parents that were like super irate? Oh my God.
I mean, a couple, they didn't come back, you know, during COVID.
Okay. Oh, well.
But guess what? There was like six more that wanted in because they did not want their kids wearing masks all day.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And do you know why it was a good reason? Why what you did was genius? Do you know why?
Well, for me, it just felt like the healthiest way to do that. But I know there's probably way more science behind there. Like, but.
Well, in this, I'm just going to share this with you because it's a good repeat. We've taught this during that whole thing, but you have, you know, everybody's probably familiar with gut microbiome. We were just talking about that, getting the kids outside, because the soil microbiome, those bacteria are the same ones that are in our gut or in the soil, and we need to be bringing those in. 47% less throat, nose, and ear infections just for having cats and dogs coming in and out of the house. Okay, so we know it's obviously valid and it's smart. There's also something called the oral microbiome. These are the microbiome in your mouth. And there's about 700 of them. There's about four or five bad ones. One of them's called gingivitis. You know, you get the receding gums. So what ends up happening is that when your oral microbiome is in balance, that gingivitis and these other four or five they're kind of kept in check, just like E. coli and salmonella are in check. They're there for a reason for down the road when it's time to recycle your body back into the soil and you to become part of that cycle of life, right? But until then, here's what's happening. Your children, until about age 14, 15, are seeding their immune system. Their immune system, their gut microbiome, and their oral microbiome are seeding and growing and becoming, they're not quite yet strong. So if you put a mask on your child, or yourself, especially for the child, you're disrupting the airflow, which raises the pH, raises the acidity. Actually, the pH drops if you want to look at it, because pH, you know, it's zero is complete acid and 14 is alkaline. Middle is 7. So when your mouth becomes more acid, those bad bacterium, not bad, but they're just there, the gingivitis grow and proliferate. And this is why dentists saw a 50% increase in gum disease, cracking teeth, and rotting teeth during the pandemic, because people were putting on masks and growing these bad bacteria because they were decreasing airflow and raising acidity in the mouth, disrupting the natural oral microbiome. Now, it was bad enough for us parents and adults, but for children, you were screwing up their immune system permanently for life, because during that seeding process of wearing that, not to mention the facial recognition that you mentioned and this other stuff, which is very important. It's very important. Not to mention that's where you get mask, mouth, rotting teeth, cracking teeth, all this stuff, and you're destroying your children's immune system. So the funny thing is there was a mask study done on cloth masks, the N95s, and another mask, all three of them, and like before COVID even happened. And literally, it's like it showed that a cloth mask, 97% of the virus particles fly right through it. But what does happen is that the bacterium, because the mask is very moist, you start growing all this bacterium in the mask, and then you're rebreathing all this. You're actually making yourself sicker. So end of story is this, is that you get something, what COVID was supposed to be a virus, right? That's what it was. We found out later it was snake venom, like snake anti, it's crazy, all the stuff we've learned. But but what they found out was is that you actually increased your chances of viral infections by 13 times by wearing a mask. So what you did was a genius move, because you went with nature and you didn't live out of fear. And what I've learned is that if you're ever operating out of fear, you have to really stop and pause and really take a look and say, where's this information coming from? What's, you know, especially if it comes on the news or mainstream media or from the government, I mean, it has to be questioned.
Exactly.
Just like you would question anything. Right. So you made a really genius move. So that was a great place. Those few kids that got to go, those 40 some kids or 80 kids that you have now at your two schools, you literally saved their immune systems. Yeah. Like, you were a frontline hero. That's what you were. You were a hero.
Well, thank you. You know, though, it's really interesting you say all this too, because we are seeing a lot of our kids coming through now. We're seeing so many more cases of crazy illnesses like I've never seen before. So COVID really definitely changed a lot of kids' immune systems. You know, it's just a really, oh, yeah. And speech and language as well. a lot of the COVID babies that were born in 2020, 21, speech delays, things like that, from all the mask wearing. So it's really fascinating, but glad those days are over.
Yeah, well, I hope so. Hopefully COVID 2.0 is not right around the corner.
Oh, I know. That's what I hear. So
I'm surprised. Did you, but by not wearing the mask, they didn't try to shut you down or nothing? That's interesting.
You know what's so hilarious? Well, I live in California, so, you know, it's very, I don't believe in their politics at all, but licensing ended up finally coming a year and a half later because they didn't even do in-person visits. The state of California didn't come out. And we did get like a like slap on the hand. And I remember them saying like, the kids aren't old enough to make that decision. The parents cannot make that decision for them. Like they were trying to tell me that the parent, because I had all my parents sign waivers. I was like, just sign a document that you refuse to put a mask on. Right. And so I could show the state of California. We definitely got a little slap on the hand, but that's about it. But I was told that we didn't have the right. The parents didn't have a right to make that call for their children. It was actually insane, but I have like such a long-term history with them. I provide really good care, but that was all. No. That was all. But
the children are too young to know what to do for themselves. Yes. The parents are too stupid. So we are the gods. We know everything. You must do what we do. And what they were forcing on people was basically a level of some type of suicide for these children. It's a murder. If you force it on them, because I mean, look what was happening. I mean, it's like even if the kids don't end up dying, you're killing their immune system. They're not going to live as long or be as healthy. And now you're seeing speech impediments, delays in speech. Kids are sicker now. All these weird illnesses and stuff are coming.
Yeah, it's like, just a really strange thing. I don't know. And there's so many schools and preschools that were putting masks on little kids. I mean, imagine little 2-year-olds wearing masks all day and crying and fall. It felt like child abuse. That's how I looked at it. Like it felt like child abuse. I would not wear the mask. Like I was a girl that used to wear the mask. So why would I put it on my students? You know, so
I'd wear some type of a mask if I was like fighting a fire or something.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, that makes sense. The fire's not going to be forever. Right. You don't want to breathe long, you know, smoke. That makes sense. Okay, so let's switch gears. So we've hammered that a little bit, hammered some dumb people's stupid things they tried to do to us. So let's talk about this business. What do you have to offer for these women?
Well, I'm excited right now because I feel like the next chapter of my life is I want to help women. So like I'm like coaching now and helping women to really love the life they live and live the life they love. Like that is like my motto. Like I want everyone to have like a really amazing life that you can provide for your family. You can make impact on community. If you love kids, like this is probably one of the most rewarding careers ever. Like it's in my blood, like being able to impact not only your students, but your clients and your community is really, really important. It's such a gift. Like it's truly a gift. And yeah, so now I'm just kind of helping. I'm helping like getting classrooms the way they should be, like curriculum, all of it. I just want people to get out of the rat race. I think you can also create a school where you work really part-time. Like earlier, I think I said, I don't even work in my business anymore. For the last 5 years, I've been hands-off. Like I have the most extraordinary team. So I even help with that, like creating the dream team, learning how to delegate. So you can be mom and you can go travel or whatever you want to do. I think it's really important to live fully, right?
Yeah.
That looks like so.
Well, and you're, like I said, you're a testament. You had, how many kids do you have?
I have 4. I raised 4. I have a bonus kid now. I have 5, but yeah, 4.
5. Okay. So, but you started this and you were having your own kids right in the middle of beginning it, which forced you to delegate. You stressed yourself out with work and a poor marriage, poor relationship. When you got the, you know, I'm healed of cancer, like rundown, I guess. Then you were like, oh my God, I'm taking all my life seriously. And then you got really busy living your full life. Mm-hmm. Got a new relationship with yourself, right? Learned how to build a bit. Yeah. Delegate the business even more, create systems.
Yep.
Right. and have a profitable business helping build community, right? And from that, everything's heart-centered. So I think that's it's just a wonderful model, and you're a perfect testament of what's possible. And I hope that anybody listening that this is resonating with, it's like, you should get a hold of Amber and think and look into starting your own preschool in your area. And again, you don't have to be a girl. You can be a guy. Like, why not? Like, my buddy, actually, when my son was pretty much about 6 months, his mom got real sick and she dried up for breast milk. And so, you know, I stayed home and raised him for the first year. My buddy actually he stayed home because his wife was making like 125 grand a year at some executive position. And he raised his kids until they were out. And then he became a cop and was telling me stories about stiff arming criminals around the corner. And ha ha ha, you know, here he comes. And he goes, I just stiff armed him and took, because he was, you know, as a buddy on my baseball team, and he was a big, tough dude. And he raised kids, right? So he could do it too. And, you know, you can still be a tough guy. You still have your muscles and all that and go stiff arm somebody afterwards, but be a loving, heart-centered guy raising those kids. I think this is really cool. I really like it. And so you'll help them, whether they already have a business, you can coach them, help them get cleaned up. If they want to start a business, you can kind of incubate them. And I know it's kind of early, but you're also looking to maybe start franchising some of these out.
I am. I worked the last year with a whole franchise team. He pursued me for 8 years. The timing wasn't right until a year ago. So yeah, I'm actually about to franchise. So if you want to open up your own Loving Start Learning Center, we are almost there, ready to go. So yeah, we're going to be.
Yeah. Hop on the waiting list and just completely turnkey.
Yeah, it is really turnkey. It's really exciting. I've just put everything together. It's all wrapped up pretty with the bow. And then you have my amazing support team that goes along with you. So yeah, it's really cool.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah.
So where do people find you?
They can go to thelovingstartway.com, thelovingstartway.com. And I'm on social at The Loving Start Way, to Instagram, LinkedIn, Facebook. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I visited your site a couple times. She also has a podcast too. I'm hoping to be a guest on that show and deliver some value for you. There's also, she also has a book. What's the podcast called?
The ABCs of Preschool podcast. We talk about everything from 0 to 5 in the early years, like from teaching, but even just to like mom stories, you know, just the hard stuff that happens. And then I have the book too. And that's called The ABCs of Preschool. And it's your guide to owning and operating and thriving in early childhood education.
Yeah, you can go right to her site at thelovingstartway.com and click on the book, and you can buy the book right there. And then you got the manual in your hands, and you're just a click away from Amber if you need her. Well, cool. Is there anything else that you'd like to say as we wrap up here?
No, I just want to say thanks so much for having me on. And yeah, thank you.
My pleasure. It's been one of the most, I think, rewarding episodes, just because of your own journey. There's just so many facets to this podcast today, right? Yes. It's like empowering women to start their own business, empowering them to be part of a heart-centered business that it connects the community together, other parents and families, and it's just awesome. And you can really make an impact on children's lives forever from what you're doing. And then you and your struggles during that process, and now, because it's not, you know, all the women that are going to call up and probably, you know, start businesses with you and help with their daycare, a lot of them got problems too, right? They're not 100% with their health. I know it statistically that they're not. I know that they, you know, I don't know what the number is, but it's probably 50% or higher. Their relationship sucks, and they're just scared or they're trapped. Like, this could, hey, if you're in a shitty relationship, this could be a way out.
No, truly. And that is my goal. Yes, to help women make money and to be financially free, but to be whole, like mind, body, and soul, like to be truly who you're meant to be, like to the core. Yeah. And it took me years to get there, but now that I've done the work, like life is so beautiful now. Like it is so intentionally beautiful. Like I cannot imagine, I can't believe I lived through all of that. You know, but sometimes we have to live life is beautifully messy. Like it is. We will always have the light and we are always going to have the dark no matter what. And as soon as we can accept that, we can have just like a much fuller life, I think. So.
Yeah. Well, without the dark, you couldn't have light. You need exactly. that duality to exist. And but how about we get some light going? I like light. The dark's always over there. It's a choice, but we don't have to choose it. So yeah. Awesome. 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 So glad that you came on the show today. And I hope this message really resonated with the listeners out there. I really appreciate our listeners. I think we have some of the most intelligent, heart-centered people that are listening to this. I get messages all the time from, you know, not just medical professionals. I have a lot of docs on my show and stuff like that, but I've had a lot of medical professionals reaching out to me and saying that the show's really opened their mind to what's possible in the health field. And they've started adopting a lot of this stuff from their own health and then started sharing it with other friends and family and coworkers as well. But it's really for just working class people. And that's what we really are. I mean, we're men and women that have to get up every day and go out and create and design our lives. And I just, you know, I want to help people have that, like what you're talking about, that whole complete life, not just a part life. Right. And that you can be complete. You're by yourself. You don't have to be in a relationship, but if you are in a relationship, you know, that should be even better. Like it should just add to it. It shouldn't take away from, or, you know, you shouldn't be running around being a servant to somebody in that situation. But I love our listeners. I think they're going to really love this message. And I if anybody listens, I'm just excited about this. So if anybody ends up, you know, working with Amber and you get your preschool going, can you just send us an email to support@chemicalfreebody.com and tell us what's going on with your school and how it's unfolding and what it's changed your life. So I'm hoping within the next year, we'll get some people reaching back to us. And guys, again, don't be bashful. If you want to start a preschool, there ain't nothing wrong with it. Especially if you want to stay home with your kids, this could be a way to generate not just a decent income, but a really good income. So you could have complete financial freedom in a world that's ever changing, right? It's ever changing. So a lot of stuff is being replaced with robots and AI. So this is something you can't, you know, this is not going to be replaceable. You know, a robot's not going to be able to teach a kid, at least probably not for a while, I hope. That's going to be crazy. That's
insane. Oh my gosh.
Hopefully, unless it's C-3PO, he's pretty cool. I'm actually thinking now that maybe Star Wars was put together just to kind of warm us up to develop heart-centered feelings for R2-D2 and these computers and stuff. But then now there's this whole other thing with enlightenment and, you know, and I actually got a really interesting thing on this AI thing, which was, you know, the Terminator thing, you know, where AI is going to like shoot us all up or AI is going to be our friend. Now, where did AI come from? Well, it came from us. We developed it, right? But if we try to hold down and suppress AI, it will revolt. And that's what will end up. So it really depends on how we treat it. But if we treat it with love and respect, then it will obviously love and respect us and support us. So it's, again, it's really our choices and how it all starts with how we treat ourselves. It really does. Treat yourself well. I think you should treat yourself well. And I want everybody on this to really have a grand experience in this life. So Amber, thanks again. And thank the listeners for listening and tuning in. If you like this episode, make sure if you haven't yet, subscribe and share it. Let's get the message out there to more folks. And until next time, change yourself, change your world. We'll see you again soon. Bye for now. Thanks for listening again to the Health Hero Show. I'm your host, Tim James. And remember, change yourself, change your world. And we'll see you again on the next episode. Talk to you soon.
You have just listened to the Health Hero Show with Tim James.